What's up? Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of Stands and Fits is brought to you by Exile Brewing Company. Fitz has his Ruthie that he's sipping on tonight. If you want to enjoy this podcast to its full effect, drink Exile and have a Ruthie. Hannah, I had a Hannah the other night. I had a Zoo Brew, a couple Zoo Brews one night when I was watching some football. So, as always, Exile, the presenting sponsor of Stands and Fits. Of course, we will go through our hot and not, our overlooked underdogs, and then I'm so disappointed in myself with my selection of this week's bad beer, but we'll get to that later on. First, Fitz, it's been 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't believe it.
I can't either.
Iowa State beat Oklahoma. I said that yesterday on the Monday rundown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I don't know.
I gave them literally a 0% chance before the game.
Yeah. I don't even think, we didn't really know about Jacob Park yet when we did this podcast last week.
Mm-mm.
But even then, I don't think we really gave him much of a chance.
No. I probably would have given him a 20% chance then.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that.
But to see them go in there, get that win, I think you tweeted this almost right after the game, that it gives you the confidence that they can beat anybody mm-hmm. on their rest of their schedule.
Yep. Especially the way I look at it is, I believe Jay Jordan pointed this out too, both Texas and Oklahoma have arguably the best two fronts in the Big 12 that we've seen already.
Yeah.
So TCU probably has the best overall defense, I'd say. But beyond that, we've played two of the toughest Ds, and we've done, besides against Texas, we've done fairly well.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, TCU, yeah, I mean, they're still pretty good, mm-hmm. but I still don't even think they're different than Texas and Oklahoma yeah. because they don't have that, they're like, they have 11 guys that come together to just create a really solid unit, mm-hmm. whereas Oklahoma, it's like they've got dudes.
Yeah, or five-star
Texas,
athletes.
They've got dudes, you know, so like yeah. that's the big difference between those three teams, but I mean, I don't know how much more we can like dissect the game.
No, it was really good.
Like 20 pieces of content.
Yeah, go read those.
In 4 days after that game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, an amazing game. Kyle Kemp will be a legend forever. Yeah, I mean, Iowa State, Oklahoma. I think we can look ahead to Kansas now, though. I think we need to do what the team has done and look to the Kansas Jayhawks.
But maybe we should spend a little time talking about Joel Lanning.
Oh, yeah.
Feel like that. I feel like we got to point him out some of his stuff.
I think, okay, this is, I'm not trying to play the Debbie Downer here. Have we gotten out of hand with the Joel Lanning hype?
In my opinion, yes. Like, and I even wrote the Joel Lanning, like, rah-rah piece
that was
after,
right after the game.
Right after the game. But even now, like, especially with the two Heisman votes he got today in the USA Today.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit overboard.
Yeah, that's a little too much.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that works. Like, I don't know.
Okay, so obviously I would assume Randy Peterson is one of those votes.
I would put safe money on that.
I don't know if Birch would too.
No, I talked to Birch about it today. I know it was not him. So he doesn't have a vote in that straw poll.
My bet would be it's some Oklahoma newspaper guy.
Maybe.
Put him in there too.
But, yeah, I don't know.
But I was totally caught off guard by seeing that today.
See, and it was funny because there were people that were starting to have that Iowa State needs to pump Joel Lanning for Heisman. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
The guy's like sixth in the country in tackles. Mm-hmm. He had like 60 yards of total offense mm-hmm. or 50 yards. Well, 60 yards. I'm really bad at math. 60 yards of total offense. It's not like he's Miles Jack or something that's going to be like the number two pick in the NFL draft.
No.
You know?
I mean, he's just, well, I could go into a bunch of white person adjectives, you know, the white athlete adjectives.
Yeah.
He's gritty. He does all the little things and all
very
that stuff.
Very coachable.
But,
he's a great teammate.
Exactly. Which he is. He is actually all those things.
He's a football guy.
I mean,
we know that. Football guy.
Mm-hmm. And it was great to see him get some pub after a great win like that.
Yeah.
Which it was warranted for sure. But at the same time, I think we're going a little bit overboard.
Well, and just to see, I mean, every major public like media outlet has a Joel Lanning story. They've got a feature with quotes from Matt Campbell from Media Day.
Yeah, and one with
Dallas.
The Bleacher Report one today, I believe, had quotes from Josie Jewell, too.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is cool. Like you said, it's cool to see him get this recognition, but it's just, the Heisman thing is too much. That's mm-hmm. the point when I was like, okay, you know, let's slow down a little bit here. Like, let's play a couple more games, and if he does something crazy on offense at some point, then we can revisit this discussion.
Which, after seeing his offensive performance against Oklahoma, I do think that he deserves to be in the short yardage looks going forward.
Yeah.
I think that package definitely needs to be seen more. Because I think Campbell said that they were going to give him more chance to get comfortable at linebacker before throwing him back in on offense.
Right.
Well, so it was kind of necessary against Oklahoma, but, yeah. You know.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, the stats are going to be better, I think, in a lot of other games. When you can go against Kansas, they're giving up like 250 yards a game on the ground. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, Joel Laney could run for 50 yards in that game.
He could have 100 yards in that game.
Yeah, depending on how much they use him.
Yeah.
You know, but David Montgomery, he could run for that. I mean, he could run for 150 yards as well. So yep. It's like they have other options offensively to where they don't have to lean. Yeah, Lolo's over there eating very loud.
But, sorry, I was wondering what that noise was, and I was like, oh, it's Lolo.
But they have other options that they've got some guys that they can give the football to where you don't have to lean on Joel quite to that same level every single week, you know. Again, when it's against Oklahoma, they needed him in that game just because it took some pressure off of Kemp as well. It just was a nice change up in a game where, you know, you kind of had to put all the chips down.
Mm-hmm.
But now at the same time, people are going to know what is coming a lot of the time when he comes on the field.
And the good news is hopefully another week will maybe give Jacob Park some time to get back. I don't know when he's going to come back or if he will.
Yeah.
But I think I love the way that Kyle Kemp played against Oklahoma, but at the same time, I still feel that Jacob Park's ceiling is much higher.
Yeah, and the thing to me about Kyle Kemp is that he's not going to do anything to hurt you, but at the same time, he's not going to probably do anything that's going to win you a game, you know? So he's going to be, like, right in the middle.
Yep.
Like, he's just going to keep everything neutral, whereas then you're going to have to rely on the Allen Lazards and Hakeem Butlers and Trevor Ryans, Marching Murdochs, those kind of guys to win you the game. Yep. David Montgomery, obviously.
And see, the thing is, too, like, I feel like Jacob Parks kind of got this moniker that he's the turnover guy now. Like, he had, you know, two or three interceptions against Texas. But at the same time, I feel like if he had the game plan that we ran against Oklahoma, all those easier, you know, throws, I feel like he'd be making those all just fine.
See, but that's the question that I had, too, was the game plan because that's what Kyle Kemp was most comfortable with? Do we know that Jacob Park would have even done that? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure.
You don't know.
See, and I'm not sure that he might have stuck with the same gunslinger thing that he did against Texas where he's throwing the ball deep and he's just almost being kind of hard-headed with what he's doing. And I don't know. Like, I don't know the game plan would have been the same because we haven't ever seen him play the game that way.
Mm-mm.
You know? So, like, who knows? It doesn't matter. Like, they won the game at the end of the day. It's just like for the sake of discussion.
Yeah, speculation.
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, if they continue to win, I don't see any way that you put Park back in as a starter.
No, until Kemp makes some really bad decisions.
And I don't think he will because I just think he's
a steady Eddie.
Yeah, well, that's what Tom Manning called him tonight. You know, he was just like he's so even keeled that he's not going to do anything. And I think he knows his limitations. He's a smart guy.
Yep.
He had a 4.25 GPA in high school.
He looked so calm out there.
He like doubled my high school GPA.
Yeah.
Not quite, but I undersold myself a little bit.
He probably definitely doubled my college GPA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But so it's just like he's one of those guys. He knows what he can, what he cannot do. And I don't think he's going to try and push that very much.
Agreed.
And I don't think that being the Davey O'Brien National Quarterback of the Week, that kind of thing, I don't think it's going to get to him to where he's like,
no,
I'm going to the NFL now. You know, like I'm doing everything.
And it's just so nice when you have guys like David Montgomery and Allen Lazard. You don't have to be the guy who makes everything happen. You can just rely on them.
Well, I was talking to Adam Gray yesterday, and that's kind of what I said. I was just like, to me, it's take the snap and get the ball out of Kyle Kemp's hands as fast as you can. And if that means running those swing passes, rely on your receivers blocking, which
they're great at.
They're really, really good at. You rely on David Montgomery to make plays, which we know he's really, really good at. So I think that there's so many different things that they can do with him as the quarterback, just quick hitter type stuff, that you don't need him to be the guy that's going to make a big-time play for you because he's got big-time players around him. So get them the ball. Mm-hmm. Let them make the plays. And if you let them make the plays, they're going to be a lot better than most everybody else that they're going to match up against.
Yeah, there's no need to get tricky out there.
For sure. Like I said, Lolo, get down. Kansas on Saturday, 11 a.m. kick at Jack Trice Stadium. I meant to say this yesterday, but I'll say it today. If you are considering going to this game, stop considering it and buy a damn ticket.
For sure.
Pack Jack Trice Stadium Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. I want to see a sellout. I want to see that thing completely full.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't completely fill the stadium after a win over the number 3 team in the country on the road, you're not going
to
fill the stadium.
Not to mention you'll go 2 games over 500 with this win.
Yes. You'll be 2 wins. I said this yesterday. If they win on Saturday, they will have won more games than they've ever won while I've been covering the team.
So you started covering them
in 2013.
So the year after the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, so they've won 3, 2, 3, and 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But good.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So when people get to games on Saturday, buy a ticket to the game, and cheer. Cheer loud because
I mean,
there could be some big-time stuff coming here in the next couple weeks.
I saw something. I read something, I believe, that said Kansas has a perspective that if Iowa State can beat Oklahoma, then Kansas can beat Iowa State.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a given that we're going to win this game, even though it's the Jayhawks.
Right. And, I mean, Kansas has some guys that are pretty good. They're going to have to play probably 2 different quarterbacks. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that goes. But I heard Chris say it on the radio yesterday. This is as close to a must win as you're going to get for a team that's 3-2.
Yes.
You know?
They need to win this game to stay...
To keep the momentum rolling. Just keep the ball rolling down the hill.
And they pretty much need this game to definitely have a chance at a bowl, I think, still.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I feel a lot better about the rest of the season now, but they still need to win this game.
See, and I think that, like, we are getting... Like, we're worried about it, but I feel like the guys in the football building are just like...
It's just the next game.
Right. We're just like, we're going to go... Probably like, we're going to go kick this team's ass.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know... And I think that that's the difference between... This team and some of the teams in the past, where a win like that is not going to get to their heads. Like, they're just like, not
on to the next one.
Yeah, it's like, on to the next one. We know we got to handle business, and we're going to get business done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, that's Iowa State, Kansas on Saturday. There was another point that I was going to make, but I can't remember what it is now.
You can come back
to later. Yeah. No, it is. I remember now. It's okay. So, this is, like, ultimate counting your chickens before they hatch. They win this week. Win next week on the road in Lubbock, assuming TCU wins. We'll talk more about that game later because it's my overlooked underdog. But TCU wins on Saturday. They win next week as well. Those are probably one top 10 team, borderline top 5 team. Iowa State might be in the top 25 if they win these next 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances that game day comes to Ames?
The thing is, I looked it up, and I believe Penn State, Ohio State.
But they already went to Ohio State for the Oklahoma game.
Well, they already went to TCU, I think, wasn't it, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. But I was talking to Chris about this yesterday. He was like, yeah, I mean, you never know. But I'm just saying they've never been to Ames.
No.
So it's like that's – and I know that they're trying harder now to get to places that they've never been.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll probably go to Ohio State, Penn State. But I'm just saying, like, just for the sake of speculation, like, that would be – That is something that would be kind of interesting, like an interesting storyline.
Yeah, I agree. And if I were ESPN, I would look at that and be like, wow, how often is Iowa State going to be ranked?
Right.
And then playing an undefeated team at home.
Right.
You know, it's not going to happen hardly ever.
Well, and I mean, the success they had when they came for college basketball against Kansas that year. So I'm just saying, like, I think that it would be something that the people at ESPN would consider. They probably wouldn't get it, and it... You know, knowing Iowa State, they're probably not even going to be in that position. So it's just like, it was just a thought that I had where I was like, damn,
like that
would be kind of interesting.
That's majorly counting your chickens before they hatch, but it's also really fun to think about. And we're not players, so we can do that.
Right. So. I just counted 6 million chickens when I have 10 eggs. But so that was just something I was thinking about yesterday. I wanted to bounce it off of you. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
That's really exciting to look forward to.
All right. Hot and not. You want to lead it off?
Sure. So I don't know about you, but I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I was very excited about the trailer yesterday.
is that sarcasm? I've never talked to you about this. But so anyways, I was really excited about the trailer. We got to see it during the Vikings game on Monday Night Football. So we got our first look at a non-holographic Supreme Leader Snoke. More lines from post-disaster Luke.
Uh-huh.
Kylo Ren struggling with... It looks like he is considering killing Leia... Like, he has, like, a self-destruct button with Leia's, like, ship rigged up to blow, I'm assuming. And then, of course, Rey's being tested by the dark side. So, it was just a really cool trailer. And if you haven't seen it yet and you are a Star Wars fan, you have to go look it up on YouTube.
Here's my thing with this trailer. I think everything they showed in it was to throw everybody off into thinking one thing.
I think they did that with The Force Awakens, too.
Yeah.
I think it was non-linear editing.
Well, and it's like the end when it's almost like... Ray's like trying to convince Kylo Ren to come to the good. I don't know. Well, you know, like, either way, whatever.
They're both like coming together.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that they did that intentionally to try and throw people off of what is happening.
I agree. I think they did a lot of misdirection, and there's going to be lots of people who like speculate about what all these things mean, and there's going to be theories and stuff, and they're all going to be wrong.
Like, I don't think you can take anything away from the trailer except for what you saw. Like, don't try and create the storyline from what you saw in that trailer, because I think they're doing everything they can to keep it so nobody knows.
Yeah. And it's going to be real exciting. I bought my tickets last night.
Man, that's like 2 months away, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's going to be the Thursday night. I believe I'm going at like 8:30, so it'll be good.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I'm going to do that yet, but
I'm a big
fan,
so.
I'll think about that in like 6 weeks. I'll buy my tickets.
Sounds good.
All right, my hot, The Process. Matt Campbell gets the win over Oklahoma. Immediately, he's talking about this is just the start of the process. My guy, Joel Embiid, signs a new 5-year, $148 million contract with the Philadelphia 76ers when he's played in 31 games in the NBA.
I know.
Get paid, Joel. Get paid, man.
Dude, that guy's going to be injured like for half the seasons for the rest of his career, but he's going to make bank regardless.
He's got his money. That's all that matters.
He does.
He's got his money from Kansas. He's got his money from Adidas. And now he's got his money from the 76ers.
And that's another thing. Like, he's from Kansas, and like, you want to hate a guy who was from our rival basketball team. But at the same time, it's so hard to hate Joel Embiid.
Oh,
he's so funny.
He's so fun on Twitter. And I think I've told this story on a podcast too. But that was the first Kansas Iowa State game that I covered was, what would have been, 2014? Him and Wiggins came to...
Yep.
When he was dunking in warmups, I've never heard anything like it.
Really?
Like, it sounded like a bomb going off, the way he hit the rim. And the way he moved at 7-1 or whatever he is, I mean, it's unreal.
He had a huge game against us that game, I remember.
Yeah, like, and it was like his first game that he... I mean, he had been okay, like, before that.
Yeah.
But this was finally the game where, like, all came together for him. And then after that, he went on just a major tear before he ended up getting hurt.
I can't remember what George Niang ended that game with, points-wise, but I remember him having a real tough time against Embiid.
Yeah, that dude is the real deal. If he can stay healthy... He's like the kind of guy that's going to be a perennial all-star, like MVP type candidate.
One of my favorite Joel Embiid things, I think it was a couple years ago.
Did I put him on my team last week when we picked the...
No, you didn't. You missed out.
I should have.
You should have.
And I don't want to trust that he's going to be healthy enough to be an all-star, or else he definitely would have been on my team. I've been looking for a process shirt for a long time.
You need to get one.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about him was he came out and he said, you know, I've been trying to improve my shooting this offseason. I've been watching YouTube videos of white guys shooting.
Yeah.
It's like, what a great quote.
Well, just the videos that you see of him, like, working out, when he's working out against a guy that's, like, 5'10".
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, man.
Is it really getting better?
Right, but he's just out there, like, doing all these dribble moves and stuff. And you're like, dude, like, what are you doing, man? But you know he's just doing it to, like, get people fired up and stuff like that. And, like, to make it so his name's out there.
Trust the process.
He's always on playing... Madden online. I'm worried every time I play Madden, I'm like, god damn it, I hope I'm not gonna play Joel, because I feel like he's really good.
You got to find out what his gamer tag is.
I should. He would probably beat me. I get beat by everybody. But what do you got for your not?
My not this year, well, this week, sorry, not this year. We're not
this year. Yeah, this is not the hot. We'll do that at the end of the year. This year's hot of the year.
Oh, I kind of like that. My not this week is hype for Hilton Madness. So I don't know if this is just me. Does it feel like there's not much buzz around this year's Hilton Madness? So, I kind of have a theory that, well, is it because there's few returning players on this year's team? Is it because of this season's relatively low expectations compared to the last few years? Or is there just more buzz around football?
You want to know what I think it is?
What?
I don't want to upset anybody, but Hilton Madness is the lamest event that could be cool in the country of the United States of America.
I agree. And I did a post on the forums about this today, actually. I enjoy the three-point competition when they do the male and the females. They split them up, and then they do both the champions at the end. That's cool with me. The dunk contest was pretty lame last year, I thought.
Well, and Deontay, like, didn't make any of his dunks.
Yeah.
And it's like... And when to have a good dunk contest, you've got to have multiple people that can do really cool dunks.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't against anything on anybody... on Iowa State's team, but it's just like they don't have any guys that are like superstar dunkers, you know?
And
but like when you see Kansas and Duke, like when you got five guys that are going to play in the NBA the next year, you're going to have some crazy athletes that can do some dope dunks.
Well, and two, another idea I have for the dunk contest too, you got to get like the crowd more involved somehow.
Yeah.
So my my suggestion was you have the crowd, you judge the rounds based on your cheers. So like after the round's over, you say Deontay Burton and the crowd cheers, and you say Donovan Jackson and the crowd cheers, and whichever crowd, you know, cheers the loudest, that one's the winner.
Right.
And I feel like having three random judges throw up these things is just, you know, not very exciting.
I feel like what Kentucky does, I mean, for one thing, it's like 60,000 people in an arena. It's just insane. Or even Kansas. They do it more for, like, students, you know? It's more of, like, a younger demographic type thing. I feel like they do it more as a family event at Iowa State. And like I said, like, that's nothing against anybody at Iowa State.
No.
But I just think for people like us, like, that, there's nothing about that event that gets me excited.
No. Like, honestly, I'm debating on if I'm going to go or not.
I'm going to be there. Because I have to go work.
Oh,
well. But
well, you can tell me how it was if I don't go.
Yeah, I'll. There'll be videos on CycloneFanatic.com.
Yeah, and then okay. So another thing that I wasn't huge on the co-ed scrimmage last year. Like I love watching women's basketball when it's played at a high clip, obviously, and I don't want to be, you know, be sexist or anything, but I would love it if they would split up the women versus the women, men versus the men, because I feel like a lot of times, when the men and the women are both out there, like the men are trying not to run the women over almost, and it just seems like every time a woman takes a shot, like a lot of the people are there for the men. I mean, I hate to say it, but at the same time, it's kind of true.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're kind of taking away from a guy taking a shot in a way.
Wow. We got Cam Newton on the podcast.
I know. So. I'm going to probably take some heat about this, but it's at the same time, I just feel like, you know, if you split them up, let both teams have their chance, and you know, it'd be a better show.
I'm sorry if I upset anyone at Iowa State for calling it a lame event, but
yeah.
Like I said, I mean, it's just, I'm sure, in 10 years, if I'm married and have some kids, I'm sure you'll all think it's awesome.
Yeah.
For me right now, no.
Yeah. And I want to say before we go any further, like, I love Iowa State women's basketball and Bill Fennelly. Like, they're one of the, obviously one of the best programs, you know, historically at Iowa State. And when they're awesome, they're awesome. But at the same time, that's just how I feel about Hilton Magnus.
She can catch, can't she? Got my guy Cyclones 07 from the forums here throwing the ball to Lolo. He's gonna join us for the bad beer here in a little bit. But I mean, I was up at Women's Media Day today. I have way more fun covering that team than I do any other team at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. Just because Bill Fennelly's so awesome, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole staff, they're just such cool people, and that team's just fun every year. It's just fun to go to their games more often than not.
He seems like one of those guys that he's behind his players more than like every other coach.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's just like, he is so accommodating to the media that it just makes, like, I stood with him for 8 minutes today and I just was like shooting the SH word.
Yeah,
you know, and it was just like, I'm talking to him about, you know, recruiting and like basketball in the state of Iowa, like all kinds of stuff like that. And it's just like a conversation. It's not, doesn't even feel like an interview, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I really enjoy covering that team. And if you've never been to an Iowa State women's basketball game, you're listening to this podcast right now, I highly suggest getting out there because they are really a lot of fun.
They're fun. They shoot a lot of three pointers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I feel like everybody knows that, but like, the whole game is fun. Like, they're just fun games, and
it's Hilton Madness.
The basketball,
or Hilton Magic.
The basketball is so much better than people give it credit for. You know, like, everybody, it's women's basketball, but like, when Texas comes to town, like, that's high level basketball.
Absolutely,
and it's I always hear people, it's basketball in its purest form, because there's no crazy athletes, there's no dunking or anything like that. It's just the fundamentals.
You have to be technically sound.
If you're someone who loved basketball like in the 70s, go watch Iowa State women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was probably a bad thing to say, but
we're gonna get killed after this podcast.
All right, might not, U.S. soccer might not make the World Cup. Not going to watch the game. I just needed to think of a knot, and I knew that they might not make it to the World Cup, and that is the conclusion of my soccer analysis.
That's kind
of
sad, because I'm also not a soccer guy, but when they did make the World Cup and they were having that run, I think in 2012 or whatever it was,
that
last,
was fun.
That was real fun to
watch.
Well,
when the women won that one year, was really cool.
Yes,
too.
It
when
was.
When they beat Brazil like in extra time, like, that was really fun.
Mm.
And that was like, oh, maybe we'll like soccer now. That was the last time I really watched soccer.
Agreed.
I think that was like 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And then these days, like, you have to hear the media report on it. It's like, oh, they're trying to qualify for the World Cup. I don't follow them close enough to know otherwise.
And I thought that, what's his name, Pulisic? Maybe. I thought he was supposed to be the savior of soccer, and now we're not even going to make it to the World Cup. Embarrassing.
We blame Pulisic.
Yeah, Pulisic, it's your fault. All right, overlooked underdogs. I got one right.
Yeah, you did.
For once.
So, okay.
That was like the lock of the century, though.
It wasn't a lock necessarily,
Chris,
but it was
Chris
good.
Williams was like, I'm so mad at myself. I didn't put that in my lock. He's like, I knew that was going to hit.
Did he not?
No. I knew that was going to hit.
Yeah.
And, of course, I think he got killed on his locks again last week.
Probably
so.
Did.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other game that we mentioned last week was the FSU game, and they lost.
Yeah.
They were underdogs at home.
Yeah. And then you lost your Utah game, too. That was a good game.
It was a good game. They only lost by three.
That one was an obvious one, though. Like, that, I almost picked that game, too.
Yeah.
I told you that, and I was like, damn it, Fitz,
so
you picked that one already.
I believe that you are you have two correct now this year, and I have one. So that's probably what we should keep track of.
We're on fire.
The running total.
Yeah, we're on fire right now. We got one in a row.
That's actually a pretty good streak.
Yeah. All right, who you got?
All right, so this week I went with Texas, who is underdogs by 9.5 points over Oklahoma. So this is a risky pick because losing to Iowa State could light a fire under Oklahoma. You might think that. But I've been impressed by Texas's defense, and I believe that Tom Herman will be able to use Iowa State's offensive film from last week to give the Horns an advantage in the Red River Shootout.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say I think Oklahoma's going to roll in this game.
See, I mean, again, I could see it being like a 3-touchdown Oklahoma win, but at the same time, you would have thought that like the last 5 years, but it's like, it's always been really competitive games in this series, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Oklahoma's going to roll.
I'm going against you.
Oklahoma's, I think those guys are pissed.
Next week, this time, I'm going to be like, yep.
They just got the flag planted on them, man.
Yeah. They already lost to Iowa State. That's more embarrassing, you know, than anything else to them.
Yeah. Man, I hope that those guys on the Oklahoma City radio station had fun talking about Texas for the whole time.
You went on with them, didn't you?
Yeah, man. And they pretty much used my interview to get a reason to make fun of Iowa State.
Did they?
Yeah, it made me mad.
I texted
Chris, and he was like, oh, no, they already know. Jared Stansbury will never be on their radio station ever
again.
Dude,
you have to call in sometime on some reaction show.
I should call in to their show just like tomorrow or something like that and be like, hey, how'd your post-game show go on Saturday?
Well, next week when they lose to Texas, you can call into the post-game show and really rub it in.
Yeah, because they said almost immediately after I got done, I like got off the air, I turned it on iHeartRadio, and all I heard, there was like 5 seconds of silence. And just one guy's like, well, everybody just tried to sell their tickets to this game. And then he went on a rant about how Lincoln Riley's team can't even get a good look and how Lincoln Riley has to be so pissed because none of these teams are any good that they've played against, so he probably has no idea what his team even is and all this stuff. And I was like, whew. I get it if you want to think that.
Yeah.
But to say it, like, blatantly and just openly, like, berate the other team, that's just ridiculous. That's very unprofessional to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna start a radio war with 107.7 the franchise.
There you go.
I hope they hear about this.
There are mortal enemies now.
But like I said, this is what made me most mad, dude. They called me at 3:00 and they said, hey, and I was just like sitting here, so I it's no big deal. Will you come on our show at 3:35? Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a Friday afternoon. I was like, whatever, call me. Do 5 minutes, like, didn't seem like they really knew anything about Iowa State.
Mm.
And I get off there, and I just wanted to hear what I said.
Mm.
And then I hear this, and I was like, I don't know you guys. Like, you called me 30 minutes before you wanted me on your show.
Yeah.
And this is how you're going to treat Iowa State when I get off the air?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Like, that's ridiculous.
When you have as big of a streak as Oklahoma did against Iowa State, you kind of get a little cocky.
And you know what? That's why they lost.
Yeah. It's because of the radio broadcasters.
Yeah.
They're too cocky.
They're all just looking ahead to the Red River Shootout. All right. We're going to drink some crappy beer.
Wait. What's your...
I forgot. Kansas State +4.5 over TCU. Vampire at home. TCU coming off a good win. I'll take the Cats.
So
and there was also not very many good options this week.
So you're technically rooting against TCU. So you're rooting against the game day in Ames option. I'm sorry, I put you on the spot.
No, I'm trying to think of how I was going to come back to that. All right, I'll say I was only counting 3 million chickens instead of 6 million like
okay.
I did before.
All right.
Or maybe I have a few more eggs than I thought I did.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I don't know how to turn that around.
Jared hates game day. He doesn't want it coming to Ames. Spread it around.
Headline, Hawkeye stands, hates, doesn't want game day to come to Ames.
Exactly.
That's what it should be. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to drink some crappy beer. We're going to get my guy. Do you want what do you want to – do you want to go by your forum name, or how do you want to go?
Sure, I'll stay anonymous.
Okay, yeah, it's Cyclone 07.
It's Cyclone.
Oh, Cyclone 07. Sorry. People might remember him because he is – pretty much the only person in the world that was still saying Lindell Wigginton was going to come to Iowa State the day before he announced his commitment.
Insider info.
He did. He texted. I'll let him talk. You guys can talk about this.
All right. We'll do the headset handoff here real quick. So what's your Lindell Wigginton take here?
Well, you know, I knew I was going to get killed when I put it on the forums, but I figured, you know, I'll throw it out there. Had some solid information from a source, and you know, I'm like, I'm gonna throw this out there, and if anybody wants to listen to me, I mean, I don't blame people for not listening. I'm just a random guy on the forums, just so, like everybody else. But
so what was some of the backlash that you got? Do you remember any specific posts after you posted?
Just mainly, you know, oh well, this guy thinks he knows more than Alex Halstead and Jerry Meyer and all the 247 guys, and you know, all the recruiting guys. And you know, I assumed it was coming. I mean, it wasn't a surprise, but
well, thankfully he came, because I mean, he's one of the guys that if I were to go to Hilton Manis, he'd be one of the guys that I really want to see.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a special talent. I really think he's gonna do some big things at Iowa State. And mm-hmm.
Dude, that's that looks like Mountain Dew.
That definitely looks like Mountain Dew.
Okay, so this is our here. I'll give you my headset.
Okay, we're gonna do another headset handoff here.
All right. So today's bad beer, I'm now learning, is apparently not beer. It seriously looks like Mountain Dew. Like, I don't know. And I'll tell this story. When I went in and bought this, it's Steel Reserve Hard Pineapple. I poured it out, and it seriously sounded like Mountain Dew. Like, it sounded like pop getting poured out. But I bought it, and the cashier said, oh, I really like this stuff. And I was like, oh, no. This is the worst thing that could ever happen when you're trying to buy bad beer. And they asked me, like, what, you know, do you like it? And I was like, well, honestly, the only reason I bought it is because I do bad beer reviews on a podcast. And then they were asking me all these questions about a podcast. And I was like, I need to leave. Like, I have to go record the podcast. I can't stand here and talk to you about why I drink bad beer. But that's what it is. Steel Reserve Alloy Series Hard Pineapple.
Hopefully you at least told him to subscribe before you left.
Yeah, I should have. Subscribe, unsubscribe, subscribe, and then unsubscribe, and then subscribe again. All right, cheers, everybody. Oh, that's not good. That tastes like a Four Loko.
I can't even really describe that, honestly. It tastes like I'm drinking some sort of pineapple juice.
Yeah.
As if I'm almost drinking somewhat straight pineapple juice out of a can.
It kind of tastes like an energy drink to me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Like like I said, it tastes like a Four Loko. Have you guys ever had a Four Loko?
It's been a while.
Have you ever had one, Fitzy? No? All right. Well, I actually almost I was looking at the drinks, and I was like, should I just get a Four Loko? And I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that to those guys. I feel like that's what I did to you by getting this. Like, we're going to have, like, some serious gut rot when this night is done, I feel like. Like, Fitzy's going to get home, and he's going to text me and be like, dude, my stomach hurts so bad.
Yeah, well, point out that this is...
Oh, yeah, and it's pretty much got the same alcohol content of a Four Loko. Like, I pretty much bought an off-brand Four Loko. I messed up. I feel like I really messed up on the scale here.
It's somewhere in between like a Four Loko and like a Mike's Hard, I would say. Just kind of in that gray area. I mean, I think it trails more to the bad side of both of them, but it's kind of...
I will say that if you like pineapple, then you might like this. Like, I like pineapple, and it personally wasn't terrible for me, but maybe that's just me.
I don't know. I'm just so disappointed in myself right now. Like, I really messed up. I had Bud Ice I could have got. I'm so disappointed. I'm sorry, guys. I let not only you guys down, but the listeners down.
Yeah, that's a demerit against you for next week's podcast. We'll have to do, like, some kind of punishment or something.
All right.
a really crappy beer next week.
You guys are like going to bring me a shot of Malort or something to take. All right. Rating. I feel like I can't even rate it because it's not the same. But the scale is so messed up at this point. I'll give it a 4.7.
I will give it a 5.5.
Is that... I don't remember what our numbers were.
No, I think our new Steel Reserve rating was above that, but I like this. It should probably be... This is like in Back to the Future when there's like an alternate future.
Yeah.
That's what this is, on like an alternate timeline of rating.
We have like really messed up with that. I feel like it's so perfect for the whole segment though that we don't have any like set ramp like parameters of what it is. It's just we just drink the beer and then we say a number. Yeah. All right, what do you think?
Let's see. What's the scale again? You got to refresh me on the scale.
Well, I mean, we might as well not even like tell anybody what it is. Okay, the one to ten. And in theory, we say like between. Like a 7 or 8 and a 10 is a beer that you would drink the whole thing.
I would definitely not go that far.
Yeah.
Especially since it's tall boy, it's got quite a bit in there. What was the price of this beer?
I think they were $2.29 a piece.
Okay. I guess taking all those factors into account, I would probably go a solid 4.
Yeah.
I definitely could not drink all of it. Not necessarily due to the flavor, but just more the... It's almost like the sugary, like the sweetness of it. I just couldn't see myself drinking the whole thing. The flavor overall, you know, like Fitzy said, if you like pineapple, it's really not bad as you go in for another swig. But
man, that like aftertaste is not good though.
Yeah, it's kind of a reoccurring theme I feel with crappy beer that the aftertaste is just pretty poor. I'd go a solid 4.
Okay. Man, I don't even know where to go with this. I'll just say like if you're buying a drink for your girlfriend, you know, maybe I guess, like, maybe she would want to drink this, but probably not.
I mean, I guess it depends on how much you love your girlfriend.
If you go to the Swift Stop in Ames and they don't have any Four Loko, but they got this, I mean, it's an okay alternative, I guess.
It's an alternative.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could compare the you know, the Four Loko to the Premier brand.
Yeah.
And this would be, you know, some sort of knockoff.
Like I said, this is a knockoff Four Loko. I'm so pissed at myself. Damn it.
And the cashier enjoyed it. So
yeah. Well, that's...
You probably ruined their night.
Yeah. That's probably why they're working as the cashier at the Casey's on State Street in Ankeny.
I would say so.
All right. I think that's all we have for today. Fitzy, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
Thanks, Cyclone 07.
Yep. I would say steer away from this, and I'd just go get yourself an Exile.
Yeah, go get some Exile. Exile, the presenting sponsor of the podcast each week. I'm going to drink a Ruthie, maybe a Zubru after that one, just to redeem myself. And then I've had so many people... If you're drinking Exile, I want to say, tweet it at me. Because that is like the best thing that you can do, is prove to us that you are out there and our marketing works. You know, because it does. And I swear it does. Yeah, I think I had 2 or 3 people tweeted at me after the game on Saturday. If you're drinking Templeton Rye, tweet it to Chris. I mean, I'm dead serious. We want to know every time you're drinking Exile because we seriously, dude, anytime I go somewhere, if they've got Exile on the tap, that's what I'm drinking. Now, I don't even lie about that. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening, everybody. And beat the Jayhawks.